if we don't get help, we're not going to survive another one of these. That I can promise you. That everything will be gone.
The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Cody, fill me in. Who are you? How old are you? Why are you there?
Yeah, so my name's Cody. I'm 32. I've lived in Western North Carolina my entire life. I have a wife and son. And we live in Fairview, North Carolina, which is one of the places that got hit the hardest specifically. And it's a former residency now, but Old Fort Road in North Carolina. To kind of start from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we knew that there was a hurricane coming. We weren't really sure what was going to happen. And the thing that, you know, a lot of people might not understand is where I live in North Carolina in the mountains, that's where you go to get away from storms like this. You know, mm-hmm. No one where we live is prepared for something like this. It's not something that happens. Storms typically dissipate before they ever get anywhere near us in the mountains.
Yep.
We get rain and we get winds and we'll have some power outages during stuff like this, but nothing compared to what's actually happened.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things that, you know, I woke up Friday morning, you know, the storm had already started to hit and everything. I woke up about 7:30, went to let my dog out, and I saw that the driveway was starting to wash out pretty bad. And I didn't truly understand the scope of what was going on outside at the time. We had already lost power by that time. And so I went back inside and said, hey, told my wife, I think maybe I should go ahead and take the car, drive it down to the paved road. So, you know, if it's washed out, we can still get out. You know what I mean? I wasn't thinking much of it.
Yeah.
And so I put my jacket on, went outside, and the wind and the rain was atrocious. It was so much worse than I initially thought. The driveway was starting to wash out faster and faster, just losing ground. The bank that my house sits on, water was pouring out like a waterfall from underneath it. So I made the decision, I'm going to go stay with my parents. You know, we'll pack a bag or two and go stay with my parents. So me and my wife packed a few bags, loaded it in her car, got down the driveway, started to head out one way toward Fairview, North Carolina, and a humongous mudslide had already happened.
Oh.
It took out a huge chunk of the road. There was 2 or 3 feet of running water, down power lines, trees everywhere. We couldn't go that way. We turned around, went the other way, and when we went the other way, between where we live and the local Garen Creek Fire Department, about 200 feet across, there was another landslide that happened 40 feet in front of us while we were sitting in our car, and it wiped out probably 9 homes.
Mm-hmm.
Nine homes with people still in them. I mean, it was still early in the morning. Most of the people that lived there are family, and most of them were elderly, so most people were still in their homes. We saw that happen, we turned around and went back up the hill and went to the church because it's kind of high. It's kind of over everything else. That church kind of sits on a hill and it's all paved. So I thought that might be the safest place to go. And we tried to get, we got up there and we ran into a woman who was actually in one of the houses shortly after we got up there. She was actually in one of the houses that had been swept away and she had been rescued by a group of gentlemen. And gotten out of her house. She was busted up. My wife used to work in the ER, so she started, you know, she was making sure she was okay, making sure nothing was broken. We believe she had broken her nose and was, you know, other things were, you know, she was busted up, but she seemed okay.
Cody, was this Friday or are we in Saturday yet?
This was still Friday morning.
Wow.
This was Friday morning. Hold on 1 second, sorry. And so we started, me and my wife kind of, we're one of the younger couples that live there. Like I said, most of the people who live there in that quarter mile stretch are all family. They've lived there for almost 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone there except for me and my family and then one other family in that stretch of road is all related. They're all family members. It's family land. They've always lived there. So most of them are elderly. There's only a few younger people. So we started trying to gather the elderly and get them to the church best we could to get them away from the mudslide because the slide went on for hours.
Really?
Yeah, it just poured and the water just kept pouring and it dug out sinkholes 20, 30, 40 feet deep. I've never seen anything like it before in my entire life. Now the fire department, we could see them on the other side of the landslide on that side, but they couldn't get to us. It took them hours to finally walked across a down tree trunk to get across enough where they could wade through the rest of the water to get to us. But this was hours that it took them to do that. So we were at the church, and one of the gentlemen in the community in that little stretch of road came up there to get me. He was with his son, who I believe is my age or maybe a little older, able-bodied. And they said, "We found someone alive. We need help." So me and my wife both went down there. It was one of the gentlemen who were down there getting a woman out of her house that got swept away.
Mm.
He had been buried underneath probably 2 tons of tree and debris and had several of his deceased loved ones on top of him.
Oh.
And we had to, me and the other gentleman, the way that it was laid out, the house that had been swept away right in front of it where it had stopped, there was a sinkhole that had been carved out, and power lines were down in it, trees were all over it, and the only way to get to the young man where he was across 2 down tree trunks that were parallel to each other. And me and the other young man went across. His father had a chainsaw, and we cut away as much of the debris as we could. And it took us about 15 minutes because we could only be in there kind of side by side on those 2 logs I mentioned. And we had to pull him out. And so thankfully we were able to get him pulled out from under the other deceased who were there and the debris and all of that. We were able to finally get him pulled out and put on a blanket. We carried him back up to solid ground and got him into one of the only house on the street that had a generator running where they had power. And my wife and another nurse who was in the community took care of him till finally. So this went on for a while. We did other search and rescue, but out of the 18 people, or it was 19 total people in that stretch there, that quarter mile stretch of road that were missing, only he was the only one that we found that was still alive. The rest of them had were either missing or confirmed deceased. So by Friday evening, bulldozers and chainsaws had made it down one side of our road going back into town. And they were able finally to walk in and get him and put him on a stretcher and take him to the hospital. And as far as I know, he's still alive.
Now, Cody, is that local? Was that a local response?
It was a local response.
Yeah.
Yes. The only response we had for the first 24 hours, and I would probably venture to say maybe 48, was emergency response from surrounding counties and local. People from Weaverville, people from Henderson County were coming to the rescue of the people on our road just because we were so trapped.
Mm-hmm. And so how long did the rains and winds carry on? Was that...
So I would say that the rains and winds lasted well into Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
They finally cleared up Friday evening. But the running waters from the slides went on well into the night and the next day they were still going into Saturday. I mean, I don't even know where that much water came from. But it never actually stopped pouring. What happened was eventually bulldozers had gotten in and scraped away enough and cleared enough of a path where you could get up and down the roads in like side-by-side razors.
Mm-hmm.
Side-by-side vehicles, cars and trucks, jeeps, that sort of thing. You couldn't get in and out. So much of the road had been swept away on one side of it that they had to carve, the bulldozers had to carve into the bank, into a driveway, just to make it passable at all.
Yeah.
So that went on. And one of the other things too is there's no cell service over there in that stretch of road where we live. Anyway, so without Wi-Fi, you have no means of communication with the outside world at all for probably 5 miles in either direction.
Right.
So none of us had any communication with the outside world. We didn't know what was going on anywhere else. We didn't know how any of our other family was doing. You know, we couldn't call out, couldn't get calls in, couldn't do anything. We had no idea what was going on in the outside world. Saturday morning, one of the fire department guys, the local fire department guys, came by on a razor on the side-by-side. And, you know, we were just asking for updates on anything. Have you heard anything? And he said it's not good anywhere. And so he said that they had finally set up, the fire department had set up a Starlink Wi-Fi that they were using for communication because even their radios and stuff weren't working.
Wow.
And so he took us over there and let us start making phone calls, checking on family members. Of course, most other people didn't really have a good means of communication either, you know, in the surrounding areas.
Yeah.
So we were able to get a hold of my father-in-law, who lives in Swannanoa, and Swannanoa is on the other side of the mountain from us where we live, just on the other side. And it, of course, has been absolutely devastated, ruined, you know, entire communities and buildings just swept away in the rains and the winds, and tractor trailers everywhere and cars upside down and just all sorts of things that like that. It was pretty bad, but he was able to get to where the road from town coming where we live is still passable. And then one of the fire department guys who was EMS, who actually took over care for the young man we pulled out, he offered to take me and my wife and our dog out on a side-by-side to where we could get picked up. But the thing is, you know, most of the people who live on that road, they're all their family and loved ones are right there. You know what I mean? They didn't have anywhere else to go. And as far as we've been able to tell, they're still over there needing supplies and needing generators and needing help.
So you left on Saturday, that it sounds like?
Yes. So by Saturday evening. Saturday evening, we got our few things that we could, and we're able to get out to where we could actually get out to where there was power and cell service to start checking on our other family members that live in other areas.
Yeah. Now, during that whole day of Saturday, are there helicopters flying over? Are you aware of any government response at all?
No. So there was up through Saturday, I don't think there was really any helicopter coverage or anything. We hadn't heard of any kind of outside help except for just, you know, like I said, local emergency response and surrounding counties sending help to Bunker. Mm-hmm. But no helicopters or anything like that. No, you know, National Guard or anything. Now we came back into town on Monday to get our son, because our son thankfully wasn't with us during all this where we live.
Oh yeah, thankfully.
Thankfully he wasn't. I would have hated to have had to experience any of that we did.
Mm-hmm.
He was relatively safe where he was. So we came back into town on Monday to get him, and of course it was still just completely decimated. Everything was just tore all to pieces. I mean, you know, no power, no water. Looting had started in some areas. And so by then there were some helicopters flying, but from what we could tell, none of it was military. Mostly it looked like, you know, hospital helicopters, you know, flying here and there. We were able to identify one of the local hero helicopters, Mama, which works for Mission Hospital in Asheville. We were able to identify that helicopter flying around quite a bit. There were a few other helicopters, but none of them were military or identifiable as government. There's no telling, you know, we didn't know if this could have been news channels. Those could have been anything.
Yep.
So.
So in your community, there was what, 18 deaths, you think? 17?
So just in the, you know, eighth of a mile, quarter mile stretch where I live, there were 18 either confirmed dead or missing.
Yeah.
Just in that little span.
Wow.
You know, And of course, you know, the numbers aren't conclusive yet because, you know, they're not finished with search and rescue. Of course, they're still pulling people out as far as we've been able to tell and what we've been able to hear. They've actually, I just heard just a little bit ago, actually, before you called, that they have run out of body bags and that they are trying to get people to send more body bags if they have them, surrounding counties and stuff like that.
Yeah. What's your guess? What does that mean? Are we talking over 1,000?
It's hard to say. I've only been able to see pictures and hear bits and pieces, you know, because communication in and out of the area is still shoddy at best.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're just now, within the last day or so, getting, you know, what I can either imagine is them repairing the cell phone towers to get the vectors back up online for coverage, or placing temporary portable cell towers to get, you know, service in certain areas. So communication is still kind of rough. But from what I can tell, surrounding areas, Chimney Rock, Swannanoa, Black Mountain, Old Fort, where I live, Fairview, it's complete destruction, devastation, flooding everywhere. Entire roads have been wiped out. Entire parts of the city of Asheville have been wiped off the face of the map. Chimney Rock's completely gone. Sections of Fairview are completely gone. You know, Swannanoa is, I mean, just it some of the roads there survived, but I mean, they're just entire community swept away.
Yeah. Unbelievable. How far were you from Chimney Rock? And you said Swannanoa is the other side of the mountain.
But it is. So Chimney Rock is more so on our side. From where I live, it takes about 35 minutes to get to Chimney Rock and all that.
Mm-hmm. And when you were going in and out, the things we've heard is that, you know, people were swept away. There were bodies in trees, that the smell of death is out there. Are you experiencing any of that?
Yeah. Initially, when everything was going on, it's not pleasant. I mean, you know, like I said, this is something like, you know, none of us have ever seen anything like this.
No.
You know, we hear about these sorts of things happening and we mourn for those who go through this sort of thing. But, you know, just where we live, like I said earlier, people come where we live, you know, family members of ours who live, you know, in Florida or, you know, in South Carolina, you know, down toward the beach and things like that. They come up here where we are to get, you know, away from hurricanes and to be safe and to have power and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our communities just aren't prepared for this sort of thing. This is the first time that I'm aware of that something like this destructive has happened where I live.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in North Carolina 9 years and I was in the Raleigh-Durham area when Hugo came through in 89. And he was a beast and he was bad. You know, we're 3.5 hours from the coast there, but he didn't do anything like this. Nothing like this.
No, nothing like this. And then of course you have all this information, and you know, they've been tracking other storms. They're already saying there's another one taking the same trajectory at this point.
Ugh.
And if we don't get help, we're not going to survive another one of these. That I can promise you that everything will be gone.
All right. So we'll talk about what do you need? What do people need now? I mean, from where I'm sitting, I can't see that there's much of a government response. Biden just said up to 1,000 troops when we had 30,000 in Katrina within 24 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know what the governor of North Carolina is up to. I can't tell. What's your sense of it there?
So it's hard to say. I haven't seen much of a government response. I know that Vice President Harris has stated that they were going to try and do $750 in relief to those in affected areas and things like that, which, you know, any help is better than no help.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what people need, they need power, they need generators, they need fuel, they need food, they need water, you know, they need communications, they need help, you know, finding people. I mean, you've got entire communities and housings that have just been wiped out. They're gone. I mean, the search and rescue is extensive. We need people helping us find these individuals who may be missing and still alive or deceased so that, you know, their loved ones can have closure.
Yeah.
You know, we've got people who just have no idea whether the loved ones are okay or not.
That's the worst nightmare ever.
Certainly is.
Well, how's your wife doing?
She's okay. She's doing all right. Her years in the ER you know, nothing can prepare you for what her and I have experienced. But, you know, she's been able to cope and deal with the stress of the situation and be able to act distinctively. You know, make decision making, both of us kind of had to find a new gear, so to speak, you know, to just deal with the situation, making sure, you know, going into survival mode. Okay, this is what's happening. This is what we need to do. We need to make sure people are safe. You know, we need to find people if we can find them. But, you know, the people on my side of the landslide, you know, we're not emergency personnel. You know, it was just us banding together to make sure that, you know, we could find and save as many people as we could. And unfortunately, that wasn't a reality the way we had hoped.
Yeah.
So, and I know over there on the other side where the fire department was, they didn't find anyone alive. Most of the people they found were all the people that they found had sadly already deceased, either from, you know, being crushed between houses, drowning, just the mudslide itself, carrying them away.
It happened unbelievably quickly. Some of the videos I saw, it looked like true flash flooding, just like no flood, very quick.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, that night before, you know, there was some rain and some wind, but it wasn't anything alarming. And then by that next morning when we woke up, like I said, I got up around 7:30. And, you know, it had already started to wash everything away anyway.
Unbelievable.
And then once we actually got in the car and left, we realized how bad it actually was and realized the situation that we were in was, you know, just survival mode, just, you know, trying to make sure that the elderly in that area were safe and that, you know, we got them away. You know, the gentleman lives across the street from me, kind of lives down a hill a little bit. You know, there was at one point in time, he's an elderly gentleman, this is by himself, and his, you know, his yard had 2 or 3 feet of running water through it.
Yep.
For hours. You know, and thankfully he was one of the ones we were able to get up to the church and get away from, you know, get him to what we figured was the safest place to be at the time. At least we could figure out what was going on and when help would get there.
And was that the right decision?
I believe that it was.
Yeah.
The church was in great shape. It was just one of those old, you know, 100-year-old brick churches with a paved parking lot, and it kind of sits up on a hill where there's kind of no mountain above it to wash out. So we figured that might be the best place to get everyone, so where we have at least somewhere, we have shelter where we can get in, and, you know, people have a place to you know, bring their loved ones. And I do believe that was the best decision that we could have made, given the circumstances.
Yeah. Have you been back to your house?
So I haven't been back to my house yet, even though we did go back into town to pick up our son. We haven't attempted that yet because we're still hearing reports from local people that we know stating that, as far as we know, there's still no good way in or out of there. I mean, you know, it's 2.5 miles probably that you have to walk in just from one side of it. The other side is mountain back roads and stuff. That's all been washed away. So really the only way in and out is the side of the road that leads into town. And even then, you know, you can only get so far in a vehicle, you know, without, you know, being in a smaller, you know, side by side, like what we used to get to the fire department through what they had cleared out from the landslide on the one side. And then also to get out from the town side.
Yep. And Cody, you mentioned looters before. Who do you think that is? That locals who are just desperate?
I believe so, at least. That would be what I think naturally. You know, people in desperate situations do desperate things, you know, when the supplies start running out, when food and water are in shortage, when, you know, people are needing things for, you know, their children or for themselves or for a sick loved one or an elderly loved one who can't, you know, leave their house or go anywhere or get somewhere safer. You know, I know that there have been several places, and I do know that local police and everything have been trying to quell that the best they can. I don't know what the current situation is on that, but I do know that it was happening over the last couple of days when the talks about food and water shortages and you know, and then the news apparently got in that, you know, there's a huge harbor strike.
Yes.
Going on. So now the country, especially down on this side where it's happening, you know, now they're really panicking because it's, you know, bad enough situation as it is now. But now we don't know if, you know, supply chain's going to fall all to pieces and for how long. Because we're already struggling enough to get food and water and gas and the things that we need.
Yeah. No, it's
before
true.
that happened.
A friend of mine who lives down in Georgia, further down, not affected so much by this hurricane, but Costco is out of toilet paper and paper towels and just stripped clean because of the port strike.
And that's only going to get worse as time passes. And unfortunately, the people in my community and the surrounding areas, we don't have, there's no affordance for that right now for us.
Right.
So panic starts to set in when things like this happen, and without correct responses, it just escalates out of hand.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to, I think it's great that people come together and help, and that's what we're supposed to do. But still, we pay a lot of taxes. I think the government should be able to be that insurance policy. I don't
I
know.
agree.
We're 6 days in, and I'm still not to, I don't have any pictures yet of a full-scale response by anybody.
Right. No, and I've yet to see that either. I'm not hearing about it. I'm not seeing it. We should be taking care of our own people.
We should, absolutely.
I believe in charity. I believe in helping the downtrodden. I believe that if you have the means to help someone, you should. But at what point does it become necessary to look out for us, to make sure that we're okay so that we can care for others the way that we
Absolutely.
should?
Absolutely. What can I do to help?
I don't really know. Me and my family have been extremely blessed to have a means of going somewhere else to get away from the danger and the destruction and all of that, at least briefly. But there are just so many people still there in the area, in Swannanoa, in Black Mountain, in Fairview, in Asheville, and Chimney Rock, if there is anybody left in Chimney Rock. They need help. You know what I mean? And I know that there's only so much that individuals and that people can do who are willing to help, but people need help. They need supplies. They need food, water, gas to run their generators, their medicines. There are people who have chronic illnesses and the elderly who may not be getting their medicines that are keeping them healthy and keeping them safe and alive. These are the kind of things that we need to have being brought into us.
Yep, indeed. Well, I'll get the word out as best I can. I know people are mobilizing. It's astonishing how many people really do care out here and get it, and we're hopping mad at our government's complete dereliction. Worse, it's worse than that, honestly. They're proving to us that they actually hold us in contempt, I think. It feels terrible. And so listen, that's not the country I live in terms of the people. You're good people. A lot of good people here. So we'll do what we can, but they're actively blocking us in many cases, from helping.
Well, I am sorry to hear that. I just, I expected more. I expected more from the people that we put in office. I expected more from the people, who take our tax dollars and take them for the purpose and the sole purpose of taking care of us. We pay our taxes so that when things happen, the citizens have what they need. And that's not what we've been shown. It's not what we've been shown at all.
Indeed.
And then they command our loyalty and respect and obedience.
Yeah, I'm gonna snort on that one because you can't command loyalty. It doesn't happen.
No, it sure
You
doesn't.
earn it. That's how
You
that
earn
works. So what's next for you? What's the next few weeks look like?
I have tried to think about it and figure out what comes next. And the truth is, it's just an unknown right now. We have a short-term plan of hopefully getting back into town, maybe this weekend. Check to see the status of the road as far as getting back into where our house is. And our house, of course, is water damaged beyond repair. We won't ever live there again. It didn't go in the landslide, and I'm grateful and thankful for that. But the water damage and everything, just from the sheer amount of water and rain and wind, it's not going to be livable anymore. But if we could at least get back in there to grab some of our things, you know, our work clothes, get our cars out, because our cars are still in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to get the cars out. So, you know, short-term goals is just to get back in, start checking on loved ones. You know, when we came back in on Monday, my father-in-law and I and my wife stopped and got as many things of gasoline as we could fit in his truck, and we brought, you know, cases of waters and tried to get as much food as we could to take back in with us to start taking to people who may need it. Tried to take it to a few communities who maybe could utilize it for generators or, you know, for gas for their, you know, some of them have equipment, you know, their own personal equipment and stuff that they can use to start clearing things off. Just local efforts. But if we could just, you know, right now it's just getting back in and checking on the people we haven't been able to check on, you know, seeing what the status is for them, try to help best we can with whatever we can. And so we're hoping by this weekend that we'll be able to go back in and do that and start the recovery process for ourselves as well.
Well, what an incredible story, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot to process and work through as time goes on. I want to thank you for taking the time to share that with me. One last request. I've got the producers from Glenn Beck have been looking for somebody local who would talk. Would you be willing to talk to them too?
Sure. Yeah. I don't mind to speak with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever I can do to help, even if it's as small as just, you know, talk about what's going on from a first person perspective. I don't mind one bit to speak with him.
Yeah. He's in the area right now. So he's going to be doing what he can. He's God fearing. He cares. He'll do what he can. So, with that, any other questions for me? Are you comfortable with me putting an audio of this out? I really just want to help. People need to know. They just don't know how bad it was. They just don't know. The media is just not talking about it.
Right. So let me ask you this. When you say put out the audio, do you mean as far as on news channels or posting it online or things like that? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I've got a fairly large following on YouTube, Twitter, my website, et cetera. I put it out and then people grab it and off it goes, usually.
Sure.
So just gets out there. And if you're uncomfortable with it, I totally understand. I'm completely 100% capable of keeping confidence in who I am.
No, I understand. I would prefer, I'd prefer if, you know, if, at least my full name be left out, but I don't mind one bit if you'd like to post this and utilize this in any way that you see beneficial.
Okay. First name. Okay.
Yeah. First name's fine.
Okay. I'll do that. Well, thank you so much for your time. And if anything else comes up, just give me a call. And let me know. I'm getting married on Saturday, so I'm starting that part of life.
Congratulations on that. That's a beautiful part of life.
Thank you.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. So it's been, yeah, I've got a lot going on, but this is really important. So anything I can do to help, let me know, okay?
Absolutely. What did you say that your name was?
I'm Chris Martinson.
Chris Martinson.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Chris. Well, I really appreciate your time. As far as speaking with the other individuals, you said that were they producers or?
Yeah, the producers for Glenn Beck. If you don't know who he is, he's got a big radio program.
I do.
Yeah.
No, I do know who he is, actually. I used to listen to him in high school, actually, when he still had his piece on Thoughts.
Yeah.
I've listened to Glenn quite a bit, Glenn Beck quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite the man. I very much enjoy his beliefs and his views on things.
Me too.
I don't mind one bit to speak with his producers. Do you have an idea or time frame on when they would be reaching out so that I make sure that I'm, you know, available and in a place where I can talk?
Well, as soon as we hang up, I will send your number over to them, and okay. My guess is they'll probably reach out pretty soon.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Cody, and best to your family, your wife, your son.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right. Be well. God bless.
Okay.